Hello, how are you doing today? Good to see you. Can you hear me really well in the back? Last time that I was here, I was talking about peace. You remember we were speaking about the peace and how during this season we like to promote peace. Today I want to talk to you about blessings. When I was growing up, one of the customs that people in Colombia used to have is that every single time that you greet one of your relatives, especially an uncle or your grandpa, your grandmother, or even your father or your mother, was to request a blessing. And that kind of like a strange custom, but they say that you greet somebody from your family, hello, uncle. And the next step that you were supposed to say in a proper way as a child was, please bless me. You know, like, and then your uncle or your father or whoever wasn't there will say, God bless you, my son, or God bless you, Benjamin, or nephew, whatever your name is. And I never thought about that, and I thought, like, everywhere that you go, people was like that. But then I realized that other countries don't have the same custom. You don't have that here in America, right? It's not a custom that you visit somebody that is elderly, older than you, she'll say, that's more appropriate, and you request a blessing. I don't know if they did it only because the religious aspect or also because they were trying to teach us how to relate properly to adults. And also in Spanish, you have two variations of the pronoun you. We have a you that is used in a more respectful way that you should use every single time that you are referring to an adult, somebody older than you, a senior. And then you have a you that you can use to refer to somebody that is your own age or younger than you. So it's kind of like a differentiation in what is the proper way to approach somebody that is older than you. And that even get into church. So you remember, it used to be that at church we used to call and greet each other when they were sister and brother. You know, it's kind of like getting like in disuse, but it's still in other countries, it's the proper way to refer to somebody. And it's not because I don't know your name. It is because it's a respectful way that acknowledging that you are maybe a person that is more important than me or that is older than me. How careful you consider the words that you say? Do you think that they have any impact in other people's life when you speak about blessings and things like this? How do you feel about when somebody is cursing at you? How that made you feel? You know, we used to have the saying that words don't broke the bonds, kind of like sticks do. But words can do a lot of harm, right? Words can be encouraging or can be discouraging. It depends on how you use them and in what context you use them and how you say things. So today I want to talk to you about a little about blessings. Please open your Bible. You remember the reading that Denise did for us today? It's found in 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 13. It's the last chapter of that letter. And Paul is saying kind of like his final goodbye to the church in this letter. And beginning in verse 11, he starts saying something like this, Lee. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you. Think about this. Why you will tell somebody to live in peace? Why you will need to tell somebody to be in a good mood, in a good spirit? Very good. Because Paul knows really well this church, and he realized that the members of the church are quite far away from being good with each other, for being loving and kind with each other, for being respectful with each other. In fact, in this church, they were having a lot of bickering, a lot of backstabbing, and they were criticizing each other, and they were accusing each other. You remember that in Corinthians, is when you find in chapter 12, a big speech about the gift that the Holy Spirit is giving to the church. And that there were several members in the church that they liked to be disrupted during worship hour. They were having the sermon and somebody will stand and start screaming in a foreign language because they were, according to them, speaking in tongues. And Paul is quite concerned with that because that bring kind of like bad reputation for the church. He's bringing a bad name. He was even to the point to say, listen, if you continue behaving that way, when we have visitors, they will think that we are crazy, that we are insane in this church. Because it was really chaotic, you know, people screaming in one side, and other people screaming in another side, speaking in different languages, and it was very noisy and loud. It was confusion. And Paul is talking to them and saying, listen, let's try to live in peace. Let's try to live in harmony. Let's try to support each other. And then continuing in verse 12, he mentioned some people here, some advice here. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's a good advice, right? So today at the exit, we will start kissing all the guys from the church. You know, you will get a kiss from the pastor. How do you feel about that? It's kind of like strange, right? Like, yeah, pastor, barely I can shake your hand, much less, you know, a kiss. You know, men, we don't do kisses. Well, it depends where you are. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to visit Argentina in the South America country. And one of the customs that they have in this country is that at the exit, after you preach the sermon, doesn't matter what sermon, and I was there for a whole week, people go there to greet you. And one of the greetings that the Argentinians do is kissing. They have a lot of Italian blood in there. So it was a little awkward for me when one of the members, this big guy with beard, gave me a kiss. I feel a little weird. But then I have to understand that for them, that's how they express love. You know, Russians do it, people in the Middle East do it, and other cultures do it. Here in the U.S., we will shake hands today. You know, that was my holy kiss for you. But Paul is encouraging the church to express these feelings, these emotions, and not only in thinking, but also in words and actions. And this is the final part of the goodbye to the church. All the saints greet you, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This is called in a letter in the Bible, the final blessing. And during worship hour, we have a final blessing here too. Do you remember that? Every single time that somebody has a sermon, the last part of the sermon is a blessing. It's supposed to be a blessing. So how do you do blessings? Well, for instance, blessings you do when your eyes open, right? You are looking at the other person, and then you express your feelings of goodwill toward this person. And it's more than empty and beautiful words. Because in the Bible, what are you doing there is that you become a channel, a representative of God, and you are transferring something that doesn't belong to you, but belongs to God, and you are giving it to this person. Now this person is carrying home something that didn't have before, which is a blessing from God. And for the Jewish believers, blessings and cursings were really serious. Reading in the law, when they were presenting the law to the people of Israel, God explained then, if you are obedient, these are the blessings. And he started giving all the blessings of the covenant, right? But if you don't want to be obedient and you want to break the covenant, so these are the cursings. And he started mentioning all the cursings. So they go together. Cursings and blessings, they go hand by hand. And who will do in these things? The priests, the people of Israel, they were doing it to each other. The fathers used to do blessings to their sons. For instance, when you are reading the Bible in Genesis, you find that two brothers were fighting for a final blessing of Isaac. Remember? And something interesting too is that once the blessing was given to the person, there's no way that you can take it back. It's gone. It's not like you can be like an Indian giver, right? Give you a blessing, now I'm taking it back. No, there's no way to do that. Because that's what Esau was arguing when his father, right? After Isaac blessed Jacob, and Esau get there later. You remember when the goat that he was hunting, and the father is playing, I already blessed you. I said, but I wasn't here. It was someone else impersonating me. It's unfair. Just give me a blessing. And what was the father's answer? Nothing left. And that's interesting. What are you talking? There's nothing left. Can you produce something else for me? And according to the Bible, that blessing that his father gave him was very special. That was kind of like a prophetic way that God was giving to this person a life, a future. So it's nothing left for Esau. And that's why he left the room really angry. Very resentful toward his brother when they desired to kill him as soon as he find him. He stole something really, really valuable for him. His last blessing from his father, and he will never be able to recover that. So, moving forward many years later, in the same story, Jacob becomes old. He had many kids. And he realized that he is getting close to his death, right? So let's read the story. It's found in Genesis 48. It's an interesting story, and I want to mention a few points in here to illustrate what I'm trying to present here today. Genesis 48 is telling us that Jacob is getting old, and he's sick. They are already living in Egypt. They already get to the promised land, and Joseph has been the instrument from God to save them. And this is what the Bible says here in Genesis 48. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now Manasseh and Ephraim, the reason that they are mentioned in that way is because Manasseh was the older one and Ephraim was the younger one. And that was important. For every father knew at the time that the older son is the one who received the blessing and the major portion in inheritance and all the religious aspects of the life. And the younger son will receive a blessing, but it will be in less proportion than the older one. So for them, being born first, it was a big thing. So he's taking his two male sons in front of his father to visit him. And expecting his father to bless his sons too. And that's what you get to birth. Let's start in verse 8. Then Israel saw Joseph's son and say, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons who God has given to me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. Jacob is really ill. He's making an effort to stand in his bed right there in the floor. So Joseph approached his father now with his two sons. And Joseph have in mind an order in how to do this. He will place the older son toward his father's right hand. Very important, the right hand. And then he will place the younger son toward the left hand. You remember in the Bible, they always say that when somebody was important, it was seated always to the right side. Or whoever was the guest, or the owner of the house, or who was presenting the meal. If the person was sitting besides that in the right position, that means that he had been honored. It's a place of importance. So that's what Joseph is doing. He's presenting Manasseh to the right of his father and Ephraim to the left. And let's continue reading here. Probably you had read the story because something interesting happened. Verse 11. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God had also shown me your offsprings. You know, remember the story he told that Joseph was dead. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took bow. Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh toward his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand was on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands, knowing for Manasseh was the firstborn, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the last. Let my name be the name upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude and in the midst of the earth. And that was it. That's a blessing right there. What is the problem? The old man make a mistake. No? Probably was something related to being, you know, elderly, and because the easiest thing to do for this blessing is extend his hands and place it over the kids like this. But in the Bible say that he do something like this, which is quite uncomfortable. It's difficult to do, but that's the way he did it according to the Bible. Right hand over Ephraim's head, left hand over Manasseh's head, and he blessed them. And then Joseph find out what's going on, right? And he get a little upset because his dad is making a big mistake, and he was careful to place the kids in the right way, so no way that he will make a mistake. Now, when Joseph, verse 17, saw his father lay his right hand on the head of his Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took, what? Hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "No, so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." So what is the son doing here? He's correcting the old man mistake, right? Without realizing that it was intentional. And so it wasn't like a capricious thing that this man was losing his marbles or anything like that. No. It's intentional. God was guiding him to bless the kids in that way. Why? That's correct. The younger one will be greater than the older one. But more important than that is that God doesn't make a section of persons for if you are being born first or second. He's looking something else, right? He knew this person really well to the point that he wanted to bless the younger one first, more. So it's not a matter of privilege. It's not a matter of right. God bless whoever he wants to bless. And now he's using his channel. In this case, Jacob is the channel, the way that he's transferring this blessing to these two kids. They are both being blessed. You continue the story, Jacob explained to his son, "Don't worry, they will grow and they will have good life." But that's the way God wants me to do it. It's explained to Joseph. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that blessings are more than words. Because in the Bible, when you are speaking of the Word of God, then you have to realize that the Word of God had power. Power to recreate and to help people. So it is important when you are blessing somebody that you keep that in mind. In fact, it's something that we don't do a lot, right? When was the last time that you blessed somebody? Think about it. We don't do that a lot. But we can bless people, right? They don't have to be friends of yours or members of your family. You can ask God to bless them and help them to continue growing and get better. You want to do an exercise with me today? I know, Pastor, you want us to do one of these awkward things that you always do. It's a little awkward, but I ask you to please look at the person sitting beside you and tell them, if nobody beside you, look backwards at somebody. Find somebody, in other words, and express a blessing to this person right now. It costs you nothing, right? So Lee, God bless you, my brother. Sister Wilhelmina, God bless you. Connie, God bless you. I want you to go home with a blessing. You see, today in our society, especially during this time, people had a tendency to express feelings with gifts, right? I am guilty of that too. But I have an explanation for that. It doesn't mean that I don't care for you. It doesn't mean that I'm rushing. No, it's an explanation for everything. In our house, we grow with a lot of limitations. And being growing in a home when material limitations were abundant, now as an adult, I had a tendency to overcompensate when my kids expressing my love through gifts, you know, like toys and stuff like that. Because I didn't have it as a kid. And I think maybe they will enjoy them. And I still enjoy toys. And I do. I actually play, you know, once in a while when toys. I know it sounds silly, but I think we should be children at heart. So I enjoy little things. They don't have to be expensive. But I remember I had a beautiful collection of Hot Wheel cars from the 1970s. They were beautiful. And playing with them, you know, my friends stole them from me. So, I never will be able to record that. And I promised that when I was older and I had money, I will buy me a collection of little Hot Wheel cars. Haven't followed that promise, but I'm planning to one day. I have a good friend of mine who had a big collection of Hot Wheel cars. He had a nice wall, and he got more than 500 little Hot Wheel cars. They look beautiful. Different styles and different colors. I think they are cool. I enjoy them. So today we express our feelings towards somebody through gifts and little material things. But we can express also a goodwill in words, right? That's my desire for you today, that the Lord bless you and that you continue growing and being a better Christian, a better person. That wherever you are, you can present to others the love of God. That your children and grandchildren or your grand-grandchildren, kind of like overstaying this, remember you as a Christian human person, very compassionate. If you had grandchildren or children and you had the opportunity to bless them today, they will remember that. It is important to do so. Last time that I visited my father, we spent a few days and it was time to come back home and walking toward the airport. And out of the blue, my dad, that is 70-something years old, and he was walking behind me and he said, "God bless you." And it didn't hit me until later. And oh, that's my father's blessing. Is there. And I love my father. I told you before in the past, you know, that the older I get, I realize what kind of person he was. I'm not saying that he was perfect, but he's my father. And he was blessing me. And that's important to me. So your kids will remember that. Your children will remember that. When you had the opportunity to bless them. Today we have a special blessing to you. It's a spiritual gift. You had the opportunity to get in communion with God and Jesus Christ through our service. So I would like to encourage you to participate, to get close to God, to allow Him to bless you, to go home fulfilled, realizing that you have a Father who loves you and He cares for you. Amen?